T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our next guest, Chris, comes very highly recommended. Bruce Gradkowski told me that our guest, Eric Eager, is going to be an NFL GM one day. So I'm hoping that he's going to remember this conversation, and when he's hired to run an NFL team, he'll respond to our text messages and phone calls.
I thought you were going to say he's going to hire you for a job so that you can get away from me. When he gets that,
he could hire me to then tell him to have his team sign Jameis Winston as its quarterback. Eric, where do you come down? You're an analytics numbers guy. What do the numbers tell you about Winston last year?
Oh my gosh! Well, that's also nice of Bruce to say. He's a great guy. We've loved having him in our office. Jameis is an interesting character, right? Because he has always been in that top group in terms of how we grade, positively graded plays. Jameis, per dropback, generates more throws that when you look at him, our graders will give a positive grade to, than almost anybody in the league. Of course, there's the negative side that he turns the ball over more than everybody else. And so there's sort of this variance that you get from him. But I would say from just an aesthetic, watching football games, I tune into almost every Tampa Bay game because you know you're going to get entertaining football with Winston. So I don't know if I would buy into him as my franchise quarterback if I was being evaluated by wins and losses. But as far as entertainment value, I think the league is better when Jameis starts.
Eric, I recall one of the arguments that people have made against Andrew and I when we've both touted him as the market's cratering, he's the perfect backup for the Steelers, etc., and I'm not going to go into too much detail there, is, well, he had 30 interceptions, and I've said back, well, that was an outlier year. The more I've dug, though, I have found that a couple of places have evaluated his throws, like every throw, and come up with 20-plus more passes that should have been intercepted and were dropped. Is that how PFF had him graded out, that it could have been 40-plus picks if defenders had held on?
Yeah, that's always a little bit that's not even-handed, though, because there are interceptions that are not Jameis's fault, so generally speaking, I can't remember exactly the percentage, but a certain fraction of intercepted passes are not interceptable balls, if that makes sense. And then, yeah, a certain fraction that should be intercepted or dropped or just are, so certainly as far as I think he was 17% of his passes last year, it was a higher percent. Like he was, a great deal of his passes last year were turnover worthy. He was near the top of the league in that regard, but it's still only as far as turnover worthy plays, 5-6% of his passes. So it's not a huge amount. And I would say that the 30 interceptions specifically were an outlier because, there were a lot of plays. Like I remember the Indianapolis game, he had a couple that were off his receiver's hands, and frankly, the last one that he had was returned for a touchdown to end his Tampa Bay career. The tight end, I didn't come back for the football, and it was, so there's a lot of good in Jameis's game, and I think as a backup quarterback to a guy like Roethlisberger with an offense with wide receivers that get open, much like they did in Tampa Bay, he would be, I think, a pretty good backup for that team and be able to step in there and be maybe an heir apparent should he learn a thing or two from Big Ben.
Mm. I like hearing a former or future NFL GM, Eric Eager, from Pro Football Focus say something like that. Okay, so where, Eric, if you were evaluating if they brought you on as a consultant to evaluate the roster for right now and then apply that to this NFL draft where the Steelers are without a first-round pick, picking 49th. Where would you be looking? I mean, you don't always draft by need, but if somehow need met value, what would you go for in this draft from a Steelers perspective, Eric?
Yeah, that's a great question because they're, you know, obviously they don't have the first-round pick. Now they got bailed out a little bit because they ended up being pretty good defensively, so there wasn't like a top-five pick for Fitzpatrick, but they don't have that number one pick. It's a really interesting thing because when I find myself, and on PFF.com, you can go and use our draft simulator for free if you want to. Every single time I find myself in that simulation, I always find myself trading back or trading for future picks. And I think that might be the avenue to take this year because when you look at, you know, what's the hardest thing for young players? Well, it's learning the playbook. It's not necessarily physical. And they're not going to have a ton of time, you know, to sort of acclimate. So if you were ever sort of in a season to be as Belichickian as possible, it's probably this one. The Steelers have a lot of veteran players. They have, I think, a decent number of players who, you know, I think of Steven Nelson, for example, who did a very good job last season. They seem to be pretty good at getting, you know, acquiring value free agents. And they have veterans. You put Big Ben in there, you get some, you know, positive variance there. I think this is the season to trade back and even trade to the point where you're getting picks in the 2021 draft when in all likelihood you're going to have a full offseason. This year, hang on to your veterans. You know, use the fact that you're one of the better, you know, franchises in the NFL. Accumulate value signing sort of as the offseason goes about of veteran players. And then, you know, I think to the point of, you know, sort of what's valuable in the NFL, take safeties. There's a great deal of safeties in this draft. Interior linemen, it's not a high class in terms of like first or second round guys, but it's a pretty deep class. And, you know, offensive linemen in general, frankly. And then, you know, probably dip your toe in, and we know the Steelers are really good at drafting wide receivers. Dip your toe in and take one of the, you know, wide receivers after that sort of first wave.
Eric, how do you reconcile, though, that strategy with the idea that probably there's 2 years left of Ben Roethlisberger and that's it, and the Steelers are in quote-unquote win-now mode?
Well, the reason the issue is it's just the learning curve, right? There's almost no rookie in the NFL at a valuable position, so quarterback, wide receiver, defensive back, where you can point at the guy and say, this guy's going to work out right away. You look at guys like Bud Dupree, like he was drafted pretty high, and it takes until year four or five for him to be a difference maker. If you're drafting players to win in year now or now plus one, like that's a pretty sketchy thing to do. What you want to do is take a lot of, you know, throw a lot of darts, and then yes, you might get, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster coming out of, you know, nowhere and doing really well when your first round pick doesn't do particularly well, and vice versa. You know, so for me, that's kind of it. Like if you're drafting right now, especially in this offseason where the chance of a rookie coming in and fully acclimating is a lot lower because of the lack of an offseason. If you're drafting for need now, or you're drafting to win now, those players helping you win now, I think you're already missing the boat.
Eric, are you a fatalist with the Steelers subscribing to the idea that as far as 2020 is concerned, you have the Ravens in your division and the Chiefs in your conference, so you're pretty much screwed no matter what you do?
No, I mean, that's the thing. I don't think so. And I'm a Kansas City fan. I was, you know, deathly afraid of the Ravens for like the whole season. And then you saw in the Tennessee game sort of how vulnerable they are. Even if you look at how the Steelers played them, I know it was really disappointing in week 17. But early in the season, the Steelers were basically one really good play by Marlon Humphrey away from winning a football game against that team that ended up being 14-2 with Duck Hodges playing quarterback in the second half of that game. So I don't think the talent disparity between those two teams is all that big. I think the Ravens were something like 18 for 18 on fourth downs in the regular season in 2019. That's not going to happen again. Steelers got almost all the bad luck you can get and still ended up being a 500 team. I don't think the disparity between those two teams is that big. Kansas City is a different one, but Kansas City also, you know, defensively is not a particularly good team. I know you guys remember it was week two of 2018. They got a 21-point lead on the Steelers on the road, and the Steelers came back and tied that game in like a quarter. So, you know, the Chiefs are awesome, and frankly, you know, they should be favored to win the Super Bowl next year. But there, if Big Ben plays to the way that he's, you know, sort of accustomed to, and Juju Smith-Schuster rebounds and the rest of those young receivers continue their ascension, I think they can compete not only in the AFC North but also in the AFC.
Eric, what's your read on Bud Dupree? He's got the franchise tag. Some people, I guess, here – people here are interesting about him because occasionally you'll see a fan that does want him to get signed long-term. The organization has kind of beat that drum a lot. We want Bud Dupree to be a Steeler for life. But there's a lot of, more trepidation than not that this guy was more a one-year wonder and that it's going to be diminishing returns from here on out. So how do you see him?
Yeah, I would probably just, you know, make him prove it another season. The issue with pass rushers is that they depend way more on coverage than people believe. You know, generally speaking, when we watch the broadcast angle, we can only see the rushers and the pass blockers. And so we think it's kind of that's where the battle is. But frankly, the battle's on the back end of the defense, and that gives the pass rushers time or less time to get after the quarterback. And what we saw in Pittsburgh last year was Steven Nelson played pretty well. Obviously, Minka had a good role. Mike Hilton's a pretty good slot corner. Joe Hayden continues to, you know, have a pretty decent career there. They got rid of they didn't play Artie Burns as much, which, you know, less free entry for the quarterback in less than 2.5 seconds, that kind of thing. And then, of course, so Dupree has a career year. The question becomes, what happens if you have a couple injuries in the secondary? Does Dupree get as much production? The answer is probably no, given his history. So what I would rather do is use those resources on the back end of a defense in case one of your corners gets hurt, or in case one of those safeties gets hurt, or a coverage linebacker doesn't work out, you know, because the defensive secondary is much more of a weak link unit. You need your fifth best player back there to be pretty good to have a good defense, whereas in pass rush, you just need really one guy to be dominant. And I think the Steelers can – it's a lot easier for the Steelers to do the latter than the former.
Well, Eric, you just brought up the secondary, and I would argue that the fifth best guy maybe back there is Terrell Edmunds, and I'm on the fence as far as how I feel about him as a pro, and I'm leaning negative. So is he a workable piece for them, or is he a possible liability?
Well, I think having Fitzpatrick really helps. You know, in some of these defenses, you know, I think about it with Kansas City as well. When you have a safety like Minka who can kind of play all around, right? You can play in the slot, you can play deep, you can play in the box. Some of the weaker pieces like Edmunds are only asked to do things that they're good at, and then they don't become a fish out of water so easily. He's not matched up against, you know, speedy receivers in the slot in a pinch and that kind of thing. So while I don't think he's like a player to build around, I think he's a player you can win with as long as the rest of those pieces are in place. Now, what does that mean? That means he's probably not worthy of a second contract. You know, he's not somebody where if you come around and let's say Geno Stone of Iowa is available to the Steelers in the third round, you don't say, hey, let's go get this guy. But he's not somebody where you're like, okay, we have to move mountains to replace this player this year.
Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus. Eric, Bruce Gradkowski's endorsement of you, well-earned. We appreciate the time and the insights.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Stay safe.
You too. Eric Eager right there, at @PFF_Eric, if you want to get the skinny on the NFL from his perspective, and we love that unique PFF perspective on the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.